Any updates or changes to the agenda? Today we have ordered lists and arrays, compact forms for language, literals, distinguishing context documents, and merging type and data type. Anything to be aware of or discuss today? Anything else to be added to the agenda?
Quick question. Maybe if we put number 3 in front of number 2, because the idea of language literals might depend on having the ability to define both a local and link to a extended external context.
Are you talking about agenda item 3 and 2?
Yes, exactly. Context, compact language literal.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so we'll swap 3 and 2. Henry?
Just briefly, I chatted with some of the web intents people in JSConf last weekend, and I had some ideas that it might be very interesting to be able to pass JSON-LD through these web intents. So we might want to discuss a little bit about how we could have the types in MIME types, because that's what web intents uses to distinguish different types of data.
Okay.
It's a bit of a tricky issue, but we might want to discuss that in the end if we have time.
Okay. Do you want to put it at the end of the agenda then?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, if you can do a quick like 2-minute intro on it, then we could kind of get. You know what might be better, Henry, is if you kind of explain it on the mailing list.
Sure.
Do you think?
Can do.
I mean, because we can do a quick intro here, but the chances that everyone else on the mailing list will see it is fairly low. Versus a full email to the mailing list, and then we can kind of create an issue out of it and then see if we can, if you do an introduction, we can create an issue and then we can have a more in-depth discussion on it on a further call.
Yeah, let's take it on the list.
Okay. Any volunteers for Scribe? Anyone that hasn't scribed recently?
Well, I've never scribed. I could try.
Okay, great. Thank you, Henry. That was Henry, right? Yes? Henry, did you just volunteer to scribe?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. All right. All right, so first topic, issue 12, arrays. Arrays as ordered lists or unordered sets. Let me go ahead and grab the link here. So I think what we're trying to do here is create a mechanism in JSON-LD that would allow us to express ordered lists. So right now, the only thing that JSON-LD supports are just sets of information, unordered sets, and this would allow us to have ordered lists. And this stuff is important when you're listing out things that where the order is important, of course. So things like playlists, lists of payment information where certain people need to be paid before other people, a variety of use cases like that. Any thoughts on this before we kind of start off? I guess the first question is, do we want to support ordered lists or not? And the second question is, what the syntax looks like. So first question, any feelings on supporting ordered lists or not supporting ordered lists? Greg?
Yeah, I think I might have been the one that first put something out there regarding using a list keyword as part of a, I think the structure was to use a an object notation with an at list element and then an included array, which would indicate that array was ordered, or to do coercion on the on the property. I think it is important that we have a way to both indicate ordered collections and unordered collections. I brought up this recently in the HTML Data Task Force, and as one of the advantages of JSON-LD is that we would be able to specify both types of relationships and do that for round tripping. I even went to the point of suggesting that we might want to encourage the HTML task working group to consider JSON-LD as an alternative to their current microdata serialization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm coming around to supporting ordered lists. I didn't really like the whole support of ordered lists in RDFA. Traditionally in RDFA, I didn't like ordered lists because we didn't have a very nice syntax to do it. But over the past couple of weeks, we found that syntax, and you know it's a really quick in list mechanism. And I think we can find something equally elegant in two of the proposals that have been put forward, or maybe a combined proposal, allows developers, web developers, to express this stuff in a fairly clean, nice way. The other thing, kind of speaking to what Greg just said, is being able to support ordered lists that are coming in from microdata. If we wanted JSON-LD to be able to express microdata cleanly, then we have to have a list mechanism of some kind, an ordered list mechanism of some kind. So I guess all that to say, a plus one for me for supporting ordered lists in JSON-LD. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. Principally, I definitely agree, and also I like what Greg suggests, that there is both an explicit form for inlining lists and also the coercion mechanism. So I would be for it with no additional things if it weren't for one specific problem I've come upon, which is related to the set notation. I really would prefer that set, the way things are interpreted today, would be the default. So I think that list should be explicitly added either via coercion or via an inline list token. However, there is one problem I have which concerns the situation where I have a property, for instance, references or something like that, Dublin Core references, which I would like my JSON to express as always being a list. Say that I have a document with which references a number of other documents, then I would like this property to always be a list. And one way to say that even if there is only one value that should still be expressed as a list would be to have the set keyword, as is exemplified in Marcus's example in the comment of issue number 12. Also, I've used this here at the bottom of that, a number of properties which I need to always be represented with lists, even if there is only one value, or actually zero values as well. I've been meaning to express this as an issue, but I haven't really been able to find the time to do it coherently, but I'd like to raise this as a tangential and also important thing to think about.
Okay, so yes, all important things. I'm wondering, Nicholas, if the framing stuff will be, if we can use the framing stuff to address your use case where everything's always, where things are expected to always be an array or a set.
Yes.
I think the framing stuff addresses that use case.
Yes.
So I don't know if we do need the set keyword in that case.
No, I've been thinking along those lines exactly those lines as well, and I believe that I could make do with using framing, although I haven't been able to try it out for my service yet. But I believe you're right that that might be a viable alternative. But since the set has been suggested in issue number 12, I'd like to mention that although I'd prefer it to be the other way around, I can actually find another use case for the Unity set, if you see my point of view.
I didn't quite catch that, Nicholas. Could you say that again?
While I principally prefer lists, actual JSON lists, to be interpreted as being set, I have come across this situation where I, in any case, need to say that this is explicitly a set. So maybe I wouldn't be too opposed to Marcus's suggestion.
Of adding a set keyword?
Yeah, exactly.
Or rather, to always consider arrays as ordered lists and then add a set keyword to do the counter, the basically by default all arrays are lists in JSON-LD, and then you have to specify set for it being ordered, unordered, I'm sorry?
That makes me uncomfortable being an RDF head.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, but maybe if the set keyword is present, one would interpret it like a switch. I'm not sure if that's too complicated.
Okay. Let me go ahead and say one thing really quickly on the need for both list in the course rules and an expanded form for list. It's absolutely required if we're going to normalize it to have that at list, to have two mechanisms. One of them to specify that something is a list in the coercion rules, and then something to be able to have an expanded form for lists. So we need to be able to use list in both places if we're going to support list. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to normalize items that have lists in them. JSON-LD documents that have lists in them. So is there anyone on here that is in support of considering arrays as ordered lists by default in JSON-LD? Now this is the thing that probably would drive most RDF people absolutely crazy, meaning that any kind of array in JSON-LD is just automatically assumed to be an RDF list and will generate a whole slew of could potentially generate a whole slew of nasty looking triples. Not in Turtle, but other things like RDF XML and the N-triples format would probably be fairly complicated by it as well. Is there anybody in support of considering JSON-LD arrays as ordered lists by default? Okay, so that's good. And Alexandra, any reason for the zero?
No, just I'm not specifically concerned by the question in the mappings. I mean, by that particular aspect. So.
Okay. Is there any? Are there any people that would have an issue by specifying a list keyword that can be used both in the coerce rules and as an expanded form in the actual document itself. So this is the normalization thing that I was just talking about. I think we would end up specifying a list keyword, and that list keyword could be used in the coerce rules to coerce an array into an ordered list, or it could be used down in the body of the document in expanded form, where you'd specify a list and then have a whole array of items. So I guess the question is there any objections to having it supported in both places? Okay, so I guess that's in support. Actually, let's go ahead and do a who's in support of it. We should have done it that way. People that support specifying list in course and in expanded form. And let me do a proposal for that. Support list keyword in course as well as in expanded form in the body of JSON lead documents. All right, so that is resolved. Actually, I'm sorry. Alexandra, did you have a plus one, minus one on that? And Dave Lane, plus one, minus one on that? All right. And Marcus is asking if we should introduce a mechanism to change the default how arrays are interpreted. I'm a bit opposed to that, just because we can. It's adding a feature that I don't know many people would use, and I don't see it. It's a nice to have. It's not a must have. And I'd much rather not put in nice to haves into the spec at this point, unless there's a lot of support for it. Greg, you're on the queue.
Well, personally, I don't even think it's a nice to have, because it creates a modal processing mode for dealing with these things, and I think it just is likely to be lost or misinterpreted. You can imagine the same document could have two different meanings if there was a change in the context that was loaded in, and that I think would be a problem.
Right. Good point. Is there anyone else in support of introducing a mechanism to change the default array interpretation in JSON-LD? Okay, so I think that is the answer to that question. Okay, the other item, I guess, is adding support for set. Sorry, Nicholas, go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick question regarding your suggestion to use framing for forcing properties to use lists. Is this how framing works today, or would that be?
That's how framing works today.
Great.
So you can in your framing code, you can say I want this item to always, like, so for example, fof name, when you build the data structure, I want the data structure to always be an array. So you will get back an empty array, or an array with one item, or an array with 50 items in it. That way your JavaScript code or your Python code, Ruby code, whatever, can always treat that item as an array. And just iterate through it.
Great. That's perfect.
Okay. That's one of the reasons we built framing into the framing API, because we needed to do that in our code quite a bit.
Yeah.
It works just as well in C++. I mean, we use it in C++, and it works pretty well there as well.
Yeah. I've hitherto been able to sort of normalize without framing, but I'm starting to come across more cases where I need it.
Okay, yeah, it happens. Well, it's the second you start working with, you know, fairly large sets of data, you hit that issue, we think. Okay, is there anything else that we need to discuss about, I guess, supporting a set keyword? I think I didn't hear anybody in favor of it, but let's go ahead and just do a real quick proposal to see proposal support. The set. I mean, it's a set by default to specify that a element is a set covered list a property. Right, what Marcus said. Okay, well, there we go. Is there anything else that we need to discuss with arrays as ordered lists? So we have arrays as ordered lists now. We have a list keyword, and the list keyword can be used both in the coercion rules and the expanded form in the body of the document. Any other issues that we need to discuss about arrays and ordered lists in JSON-LD before we move on? All right, great. That was fairly, that was easy. okay, next up is the adding, we wanted to switch these, didn't we? So distinguish a context document from an instance document, I think, is next. So let's see. So this is issue 30, and that's the link there. Okay, so we had a long discussion about this on the mailing list. The idea here is that we could go about this in three different ways on how we distinguish a context document. The first one is to create a new MIME type for the context documents, and that would be we could do that. We could create a new MIME type, but for the reasons expressed on the mailing list, it seems like overkill. We could create a MIME type parameter for application LD plus JSON, but add a form equals context. But you still have an issue there where the Apache web server or the web server basically can't determine whether a JSON-LD document is just a regular JSON-LD document or a context document because there's no file extension. There's no file extension specifying what it is, and we probably don't want to specify a file extension without creating a new MIME type, and as we discussed, creating a new MIME type seems to be overkill. So that leaves us with one proposal left that Marcus had outlined here, and that's including context in pure context documents. So the context document would be a pure JSON-LD document. There's no difference between a JSON-LD document and a context document. But if you list an external document using context, it will go to that, the JSON-LD processor system would go to that other document and look for a context keyword in that document and use it as the context. It would merge that into the current context. So that seems to be the most supported, mechanism right now. Are there any thoughts on supporting each of these? Anybody want to chime in on what we might want to support? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes. Just to see if I'm too tired or not. Would this mean that if I have an embedded context in an instance document, and within this context I put another context keyword with a string as a value, would that mean sort of import or include?
So let me try and do an example in IRC. So the idea is you've got a regular JSON-LD document that has, let's say, http://example.com, my context.json-LD, and then you've got foo. Let me make sure that this is right. So your regular JSON-LD document would have something that looks like that, right, where it says context, and you list an external context document, and then the next item is you're specifying a local context. So the processor should load the external document first and create the context out of that document, and then it should overlay the second item in the array, the foo, on top of that context. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Okay, so when you dereference the mycontext.json-ld document, in that document there will be an @context key at the top level, and the processor is instructed to use that context. And based on our discussion, it's supposed to ignore any external reference. So if that document had the same thing, so, you know, example.com/mycontext.jsonld, and it had foo, it would not load the external context, but it would load the second item in the array, the foo item. Did that make sense?
Sorry, could you repeat if it's...
So let's say this is the regular JSON-LD document, and then this is the context JSON-LD document, and that document is this guy here, and then that. Okay, so your first document, the regular JSON-LD document, is context, and then it would have, you know, mycontext.json-LD and foo, right? So it would hit mycontext.json-LD and load that. That's the second line down here. So this is the context JSON-LD document, and in that it would. Do you see the first URL that this would not load? .example.com. Uh-huh. See, it's in the context loading process, so it would hit that, and we have a rule that says to prevent any recursion issues, we say you do not load that, you just ignore it. But the second item, since it's specified in there, it would load bar. So going back to the regular document, the regular JSON-LD document, it would hit the first mycontext.json-LD, and then the context at that point, once it's loaded that document, would just be bar. It would just have bar specified, and then it would process the second item there, foo. And so by the time that the context line in the JSON-LD document, the regular JSON-LD document, will have two entries. You will have foo and bar.
Yeah.
And that makes sense? Okay.
Then consider this example, which I would expect would not work, although following the form of things, do you see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, so in that case, the context, you can't embed a context in another context. The second context, I believe, let's see, the second context would just be a keyword.
Yeah.
And then the next context that it hits, I mean, this is a really, I mean, you know, this is a corner case, but the next context that it hits, it was just going to create a property where the subject property is example.org/mycontext.jsonld is whatever's on the right-hand side of that. So you've basically overwritten context. We could do two things here. We could say that you can't do that, and you can never override context, or we allow context to be overridden, and from there on out, you know, you don't actually end up processing any other contexts. You just treat it as if it's just a regular, just another property.
Yeah.
And I think we should probably do the latter because, I mean, this is a kind of a, you know, I don't think there's any reason to strictly forbid this in the spec. If somebody does this, then they're just kind of abusing the language.
Yeah. Then what I'm
go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. Then what I'm after is this syntax. If we have language, which is the next item, but that's why I wanted to put this before because I wanted to see the form.
Yeah, and I believe that if you have language like that, it would be included into the context, no problem.
Great.
Yeah. Greg, you're on the queue.
So, a couple of points since the conversation continued. One regarding sort of the treating of a context or within a context. That would have a problem with my implementation since I go into an alternate processing mode when I see a context keyword. So I then process that as a context. So if I were to then see an embedded context, I wouldn't be in a position without adding some extra code to deal with it at all.
Hmm.
So I would just say it's ignored as being something that's unknown. Or rather, what it would probably look like would be a prefix definition for context, which would be a real problem.
Yeah, well, I think that's what we were saying. You know, if someone wants to define a prefix that's at context, let them go ahead and do it. And it's going to break all of their other context definitions,
except
right?
Except the form of the value is not itself a string, so it would just blow up.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a string. It could be a string, right? And in the case that it's a string, nothing bad would happen. But when it's not a string, then that's an error, right? And we actually have that specified in the... I think we have that specified in the JSON-LD API. It's spec'd out as throwing an exception, if that's the case.
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, So that is the way I would interpret it. But the reason I raised the question was just a general concern about taking a document and processing it differently based upon the point of where I am. It just bothers me a little bit that... if I was to process it as a JSON-LD document, it would go ahead and expand a context reference. And if it was used because it was itself a context reference, then I wouldn't process it. It just strikes me as being a little bit smelly.
Right. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, sort of think I... feel the same as Greg. I'm wondering whether actually, if we look at the text in the issue number 30, we say that including context in a pure context document would make it distinguishable as a context document, but actually it wouldn't, because it would look like an instance document still. Right.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if we were necessarily trying to say that. I think we were just saying, look, a context document is just another JSON-LD, you know, quote-unquote,
yeah,
instance document, right? It's, there's no difference. It's just when you use context and give a JSON-LD document, you're telling the processor to just pull the context out of that JSON-LD instance document.
Yes.
But I guess getting back to Greg's point, is there anyone else that feels that doing, you know, preventing processing of external documents when you're when you believe you're processing a context document is not the proper thing to do? Or is there any other way that we could solve the recursion issue, the multiple document recursion issue? Marcus is saying that he has an issue with it as well.
Couldn't specify that you should never look up the same URL twice. I suppose CSS does something like that.
Oh, I see. So you're basically saying put something in there that detects a loop, a recursion. Put in recursion protection. So every time that you go and process an external document, you have a stack or an array of documents that you've processed up to that point. And at the point that you'd recognize that you have hit an issue, you know, you've hit a previous or you're processing the previous document again, you just stop at that point to detect that you've processed this document before and you stop. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Although, of course, you could write malignant context, dynamic context documents to screw up indexers. But then again, they can always do that.
Yeah. So they're the other way to resolve this issue is to create a recursion depth of,
yeah,
you know, two or three or four, where you stop after you're that deep.
Yeah. Or specify that should or something like that, and say if you write context documents which depend on deep depth, don't expect clients to follow them.
Right. So one of the attacks that we've found that could be possible is somebody provides a JSON-LD document to a web service, and they dynamically generate these, you know, this recursive list of other documents that need to be loaded in the context. So let's say there are five or six documents. And if the recursion depth is four, they could still list 20 context documents in the top level, and you've got, you know, many, many, many HTTP requests being made by that web service. So that's kind of you could have a very nasty distributed denial of service attack if you do something like that.
Yeah.
Marcus, here. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Just quick. You could always write, you know, endless context replies and stuff like that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Aren't we now not just discussing implementation details? I mean, they don't really matter for this, like, in this regard. I mean, of course, you have to mitigate those problems, but that's an implementation issue and depends on the application and on the use case and on all other factors. So, I mean, for the spec itself, I don't see it as a problem at all. Think of it like in CSS, for example, you can also have hundreds of imports, but it's not really abused in practice, or at least I've never seen it to be abused.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I also believe, although I'm not sure I will actually use it, but experimenting somewhat with my service, I've seen that it might be usable for me to include some base context in external context. So I might find a use for it.
Hmm.
So depth two might be
useful. Okay, so we're basically saying that this is, Marcus, the reason that we're bringing this up is that this does come up, you know, these types of distributed denial of service attacks do come up when you talk about, you know, browser technology or, you know, server technology or that kind of stuff. The alternative is to specify these hard-coded contexts and whitelist a bunch of contexts. These solutions have been they've been proposed before that you know, especially with like the RDFA and the profile mechanism. At one point we were talking about having, you know, all of the prefixes hard-coded that people could use, or having terms predefined so that there doesn't need to be any dereferencing of anything. So we just need to make sure that as a group we're making a conscious decision that we understand that there is a distributed denial of service attack concern, and maybe in the spec we need to specify that processors need to be able to limit themselves to, you know, X many lookups per JSON-LD processing run. So maybe the you know, you tell the it needs to do a maximum of 4 lookups, and after that it doesn't do any more lookups, and that would force authors to try and be as specific as they can. Maybe just having one import statement for a context and just leaving it at that, so they wouldn't be able to put in 10 or 20 or 30 different remote contexts. They would only be most people would only put in 4, because they understand that implementations have limited. At least certain implementations have limited themselves to only allowing 4 lookups per document. This is there are a lot of complex issues that come up for such a simple feature. Okay. So we would document this. So I guess what it seems to me that people are okay with is that we're not going to distinguish between a context document and an instance document. You just have JSON-LD documents, and that's it. However, when you specify context, add context in a document, and you specify an external URL, when you dereference that external URL, the JSON-LD processor expects there to be a context key at the top level of the object that you get back from dereferencing that URL. So it expects another JSON-LD document, and it expects a top-level context in that document. And then with that said, we've got recursion and distributed denial of service attack risks, but it's up to the implementation to guard against it in the way they see fit. And we could give a couple of examples in the spec. Greg, you're in the queue.
Is it reasonable for a JSON-LD processor to ignore everything that's not in the context of a document that's loaded for the purpose of extracting context? Can we have
Yes.
some Matext for that?
Yeah. So you're saying a JSON-LD processor may ignore all other keys that are not context when referring to an external context document?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that would be a smart thing to do. Because one of the other things that we discussed on the mailing list was that those external documents should be self-describing. They should be able to express what each term is for, or how you're supposed to use it, or even like, you know, range, RDFS range, or domain, or any of that stuff. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I see the benefit of adding some kind of self-describing. Might want to say that you should limit this information to some extent. Otherwise, it might be a risk that someone feels a bit lazy and reuses some kind of example document as a context or something like that. I don't know if it's a real issue, but I'm trouble with context documents having too much data.
Right. There are good arguments. One direction is the document should be fully self-describing, and it should have a lot of information in it about what that vocabulary, what that context is trying to do. And then the other argument is what Nicholas just said. You know, you don't want the documents to be too big, because they're probably going to be downloaded many, many, many times over. And then even without the size, issue, you don't want to put a bunch of data in there because someone might copy and paste your context and modify the context up at the top, but not necessarily the triples down at the bottom. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and try and wrap this issue up. The proposal is to do not differentiate between JSON LD context documents and JSON LD instance documents, all JSON LD there are just JSON LD documents. Maybe I should go ahead, Marcus.
If we don't distinguish between context documents and JSON LD documents, why do we say then that we ignore all the data that is contained in those context documents? We discard everything that's not under that context element in the document that they retrieve as a context.
I'm sorry, I didn't fall in. I'm sorry, maybe I skipped over Greg.
No,
Marcus,
you didn't.
Oh, I didn't, okay. Marcus, I didn't quite get that.
So, Greg said before that if we retrieve a context document, which we are now not distinguishing anymore from a JSON LD document,
mm-hmm.
we discard all the data which is not about the context. We ignore that.
Well, we're saying that a processor could ignore that, or I mean, it should. When dereferencing that context document, I think Greg said that he would want it such that the processor could just ignore those triples.
Well, there's two parts to that. One, the processor can ignore it, but if the processor didn't ignore it, the result of processing the document would cause that data to be discarded. Because
right.
all you're doing is to extract the context.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay. So I think we're all in agreement. We just need to figure out a way to say that.
Yeah. The question is, do we want to discard that data, or do we don't want that?
So the way that we solved this problem in the RDFA world is that we said that there was a... Oh, and we just changed this terminology. There's a default graph, right? And the default graph is where you put all of the triples, where all of the information that you're getting from the top level JSON LD document that you're processing. You can also have what's called a processor graph, which is triples that the processor spits out while it's doing its work. So these could be warning triples, error triples. It could be information triples that it got from a JSON LD context. So it could be a lot of basically all this kind of junk data that's generated in the process of processing the top level JSON LD document. We can do two things. We could stay quiet on where those triples go. We can just say you have to make sure that you don't put those triples in the main, in the default graph. Or we could specify, hey, there's a processor graph, and if you want to express those triples somewhere, they should go in the processor graph. But I don't know if we really need to get that complicated, I don't...
I mean, we could also just say... We just include them. They're just like as normal data because they are also JSON LD documents. And then it's up to developers to not put data in there.
Well, so could you say that again?
So we could also say it the other way. So we don't discard that data, but include it in the default graph, so to say, and just process it as it would be in the root JSON-LD document.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's more like an import, not a. That's more like an import statement,
that
right?
That would result in an import then. Yeah, that's true.
Right. And I don't. I think I would be a minus one on that. I mean, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, that would eliminate all the differences between context and instance documents, so they are then indistinguishable.
Yep.
That's
and I don't know. I don't know if that doesn't. That makes me a bit uncomfortable.
Particularly if there's a cross-domain access aspect.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean you don't necessarily want data in those other documents to be mixed in because your application might be acting upon that data. And if for some reason the remote, you know, a remote site was compromised and you had some data pulled in, that could cause issues. For example, we have a financial system and we have a bunch of JSON-LD documents that, you know, our entire system is based on passing around these JSON-LD messages. We would probably create the context such that, you know, we didn't dereference the context. It was always hard-coded, but people may send us JSON-LD documents that have an external context, and in the future we may want to dereference it to get the context information, but getting data out of those remote documents, that's a bit iffy.
Yeah, but I mean, if you change the context, all the data will be invalid anyway.
Yeah, but there are ways that you could not change the context. Maybe you don't change the context and all of that data is still valid, but you still sneak in a couple of triples that modify the way the application behaves in the context document. Right? So that's an attack vector that a third party could use to corrupt the original data sent by...
Yeah, sure, but I mean, also if you just change the context, you can swap two elements, for example.
You could change the vocabulary.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's the same kind of attack. If you depend on an external document, you are susceptible to those attacks.
Right. So I guess, is there a use case that requires us to do that? To import data in the JSON-LD context document?
Well, I don't see it really as a feature. I just would like to eliminate all the differences between context and instance documents.
Well,
yeah.
one of the things that's eliminated is if I normally go into another a different context or into a different processing area, and I evaluate a context, that context does not filter back up to the referencing point, but with a context document, it explicitly does. So I think there has to be a difference, really, between the way we treat these documents. Otherwise, if I had something else, a document that had a subject that referenced other context, you might consider that the sort of that recursive context should infect back up for subsequent processing at a higher level, and we specifically don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, I don't know if I feel very comfortable about saying that we're trying to remove all of the differences. I mean, there is certainly a difference between a context document and a regular JSON-LD instance document. I think what we're saying is that the syntax is no different, but the contents of those documents are still expected to be a bit differently and be treated a bit differently.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, I mean, we should certainly keep this in mind, because there might be a really good reason for us to just remove every difference between them. But for now, it certainly makes me nervous for multiple reasons. One of them is corrupting the core graph that you're working with, and that could lead to security implications that we haven't really thought through. I think that's the main thing. We haven't thought through the security implications. We might think through it and find out that there's nothing to worry about, but the other issue is also Greg's issue, in that, you know, well, what happens when you import those triples in the context? Do you expect it to bubble up or not? Okay, so I think that we have made one. We are sure about one thing, and I think that's that a JSON-LD, when you specify context, that remote document must have an API in it, and it's just like any other JSON-LD document. It could have triples in it and all that kind of stuff. So let me go ahead and try a proposal. So we're not differentiating between JSON-LD context documents and JSON-LD instance documents. If context is specified, the remote document is listed, the remote document must have a context. Okay, so that's the proposal. Do not differentiate between JSON-LD context documents and JSON-LD instance documents. If context is specified and a remote document is listed, the remote document should have a context key in the top-level JSON object. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Should. Will that work for everybody? I kind of like it, but I was expecting it to be a must.
I don't, if someone wants to specify an external document and it has absolutely no context, I don't think that the processor should kick out an error. So must to me says that the processor should fail or kick out an error, or some kind of action should be taken.
Right.
But a should tells me that it could just quietly ignore that nothing happened and move on.
Okay. But it has to have context for it to be interpreted as a context.
Correct, yes.
Yes.
Ted, any particular reason for the plus zero?
Yeah, I'm not understanding why a document which has been called out as at context itself has to have at context. Or am I misunderstanding what's been said here?
That's kind of what's being said. Marcus, it's mostly Marcus wanted to try and remove as many differences between a context document and an instance document as possible, so that authors didn't need to understand, they didn't have two sets of rules for context documents.
So a document is a document, and whether it's being used as a context document or it's being used as an instance document depends on, for an overused term, the context in which it's being used.
Right. Exactly.
So,
and
saying that a document which is being used as a context document must itself reference an external context document is what I'm reading here, and that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Oh, that's not. I don't think that's what we're saying. Let's see.
A JSON-LD document may have an at context. And if it does, it's referring to an external document. And there it is.
So Sometimes. Sometimes the context is inline.
Okay, fine. But if it's referring to an external document, then the net effect is for that external document to essentially be read into inline.
Right. Right. So, although what we're saying is we're trying to determine what the syntax of that external document is, right?
It's just another JSON-LD document.
Okay, and that's what we're resolving today. Because before, it wasn't just another JSON-LD document. Before, it was a JSON object with key value. It was a flat kind of key value pair at the top level, and it had, like, you know, chorus in it. So before, that external document wasn't just another JSON-LD document, and the finding that we're making today is that external document is a just another JSON-LD document. Does that make sense?
Yes, but if that's the case, if I have a JSON-LD instance document which specifies at context and points
uh-huh.
to a remote document,
uh-huh.
why does my remote document that remote document has been defined as the context of my primary document? And there it is. It's done. There's for that remote document to have or not have in that context itself. If it has one, then you have to continue down the line.
The reason that we have, we need to specify what the processor needs to look for. Right? Does the processor just look at the top-level JSON object, or does the processor look at the top-level JSON object and then look at the chorus value in there? So this is really an instruction to the processor on what it should look for if it's given an external JSON-LD context document, what it should look for in that external context document.
Either I'm really not understanding how this process is going to happen, which is possible,
mm-hmm.
or this is going sideways.
Well,
what is the at context document supposed to do? It's supposed to give you some essentially guidance about what to do with what you've got.
Well,
how is that guidance expressed?
As prefixes and coercion rules. So it lists all the prefixes like FOF and Dublin Core and all that kind of stuff, and it says this DC maps to this URL. And then it has coercion rules that say things like, you know, FOF age should be an XSD integer, or, you know, basically things like a music list should be
a list.
This is
conceptual. This is not what does it do, how does it express it right now that you're giving. But what we're talking about is not conceptual. What we're talking about is syntactic and explicit. And I'm not reading explicit in what we're proposing and discussing.
So the explicit is, where does the processor look? It gets a JSON object in the remote document. Does it read every key value pair in that document as
yes.
prefix colon, you know, as Dublin Core colon maps to this URL? Or does it look in the top level object of what it gets back and then look in the at course object to figure out if Dublin Core maps to something else? So it's what we're telling it is we're telling the processor where it should look. Should it look in the top level object, or should it look in the coerce key of the top level object? And what we're resolving today is we're saying it should look in the coerce key of the top level object.
The context
key. I'm sorry, yes, the context key of the top level object.
Yeah, I'm not getting this. It needs to be an explicit example, it seems to me.
Okay, we have an example.
And I don't think
further. Okay. So is it okay if we go ahead and resolve this right now? Because it seems like there are a lot of plus ones on here. And then if we find out that there's some kind of horrible issue or Ted, if you want to write the mailing list on, you know, exactly what the concern is, we can reopen it and discuss it at that point.
I always hate the idea of taking a resolution with the proposition that it's going to be a problem.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a problem. And I don't think there are a lot of plus ones.
What I'm reading here in this proposal as written is, if at context is specified and I point to a remote document, then the remote document has to have at context specified, which might point to a remote document or might not.
Yes. That's correct. That could happen.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's the question online. What happens if the remote doc does not have at context in it?
Then it's ignored. Then nothing happens. Your context hasn't changed at all. We did discuss that a little bit ago, about 10 minutes ago. So if the remote document doesn't have a context in it, then you don't modify your current context at all, and you continue processing your document. And
so
if that means...
So what we're saying is not that at context references a remote document. At context references a remote document's at context.
Yes, you could say it like that.
Yes.
What you're saying is
take at context for this document from that document's at context.
Correct. Yes, that's another way of saying the decision that we're making today, or at least that we just kind of I could rephrase it.
That is not the same thing as saying use that document as the context for this one. If at context remote document says use the content of that remote document as the context for this one, then the processor must deal with that entire file. And there are many ways that things might be put into it.
Are you specifying? Are you saying that we should change the proposal to that wording? I'm a bit lost at what you're asking for, Ted.
I'm saying that what you've described as the goal here is not being achieved by this proposal.
Okay. Do you have a way that it could be reworded so that it
not
could?
In my head right now. No, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm trying to understand exactly what you're trying to express, and I'm not entirely getting that, and that means that I can't express it myself.
Right. And Marcus just put something out in IRC. It says import the context element in the remote JSON-LD into the current document and merge it with the local context. And then Nicholas is saying, he's kind of expressing what happens as well in code.
Not differentiating between a context document and an instance document. It's saying that there's no such thing as a context document.
Correct.
There are only instance documents.
That's correct.
And the context element is the thing that matters in every instance document. It's like embedding a CSS style sheet in one HTML file and then taking another HTML file and saying, hey, use the CSS style sheet from that HTML file. Not a separate CSS doc.
Right, exactly.
But the CSS is very broken to me.
Why?
If that's really what's going on here.
Why? Why does that seem broken? Okay, so we're way over time.
It's like you have two books with a preface that you put into one, and you say in the second book, go see the first one for the preface.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is data. It's not a book, so we can't.
It's an analogy.
Right, but what I'm saying is that in these cases where we have, actually, sorry, I'm jumping in front of Greg. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think that really does simplify the thing, and the intent actually is to extract the context from the reference document and use that. And if that, I think, actually simplifies an implementation quite a bit more, because otherwise you'd need to fully process the external document and then have a way to extract the context from the document that you've processed. So it's very much like using an XPath, I think, to refer to a component of a document, and that's, in fact, what we're doing. We're referring to the context of a remote document. So I would support a wording that made that more explicit.
Right. Okay. So we're way over time. Maybe we can kick this to the mailing list and then come up with a proposal that works for everybody, some proposal text that works for everybody, and then revisit it when we come back for the next telecon. All right. Anything else that we need to discuss or think about over the next 2 weeks before the next telecon? All right, great. Thank you, everyone, for the great discussion. Have a great weekend, and we'll see each other again in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye.
You too.
Bye.